Are you in a position where you're defined by your age and that's limiting you to pursue a dream or goal you want to accomplish? The More Than Your Age podcast is about having conversations with women who fully live their lives without being dictated or defined by their age. This is a space to encourage women who feel blocked to pursue a dream or goal based on their life circumstances. Welcome to the More Than Your Age podcast. I am your host, Erica Pasbarn. Let's start living life fully and become more than your age. Music has a way of speaking to our souls in a variety of ways. How a songwriter can convey truth and poetry to create a song that leaves an impact on our hearts is truly remarkable. I came across my guest today at an intimate concert back in the fall of 2023. Every single song she sang was profound and deeply touching. I had the opportunity to chat with her after the show and learned a little bit about how she got started in her music career. I knew instantly that her story would be one to share with the More Than Your Age listeners. It was an honor for me to speak with Caroline Cobb and share a small part of her story. Enjoy the episode. I am so honored to have singer-songwriter Caroline Cobb joining me on the More Than Your Age podcast. Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, Caroline, I really have to tell you how much your music has spoken to me in the past few months. And so I was introduced to you when you came and you performed at my church back in Grapevine. And my friend Sally told me that you were coming. So I was like, okay, great. Love to hear her. And every single song that you had was so moving. I was deeply touched by all of them. One in particular was the song Find Rest. I actually have a speaking engagement coming up. And it's over grief and experience grief and whatnot. And as soon as I heard that song, I mean, tears are coming down my face. And I'm like, oh, at the end of this, of my presentation, I'm going to play this song because it was so touching. And every time I listen to it, I bawl like a baby. But it's an amazing song. And so I just, one, want to say thank you for the work that you do, what you provide. And I know that it not only touches me, but it's touched so many other women and people in general. So just thank you for that. My children also refer to you as, Mommy, I want to listen to the girl who that you really like from church that sings really well. I'm like, okay, great. We'll listen to her. I love that you love her. And so anyway, when my friend Sally told me about you, I really had zero clue that you had been writing and performing for so long until I actually started looking you up. And so I read on your YouTube channel, too, that you set a goal before your 13th birthday to write a song for every book in the Bible. So you obviously knew how to play and write music at this point. So before age 13, when were you introduced to writing, playing, and performing music?
Yeah, it was actually before my 30th birthday that I decided to write a song for every book of the Bible in a year. So I didn't really know, I didn't really think about music as part of my childhood. Like, I took piano lessons like everybody else. But when I think back to myself as a little girl, I always think of myself as really imaginative, like always telling stories or making up stories, writing stories, loving to read. But I didn't really think about how music fit into that. But when I went, when I was in high school, my mom did teach me like a few chords on the guitar. She had a basic knowledge of the guitar. And right around that same time is when I started walking with God too. And so my faith and music kind of came at the same time and I started writing songs. And so I can look back now at that time when I was little and see how I love to tell stories. And I didn't realize then when I said, I'm going to be a writer when I grow up, that I would actually get to be a songwriter, you know, that it would come out through music. But it was cool to see how God has woven that all together.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, okay, well, we need to go back and look at YouTube because I could have sworn it said 13 and then you said 30th. And so now I'm like, oh my goodness, that changes everything in that question. Well, we'll get back to that as well when you decided to write a song for every book in the Bible. So then tell me a little more about your musical journey once you did decide like, okay, I enjoy writing, but now I want to write music? And what was the musical journey like at that point through mm-hmm. early college and young adult?
Yeah, so when I was in high school, I told you my mom had kind of taught me a few chords on the guitar. And it's actually a little bit of a funny story. I went out on this date with this boy, and he played me a song that he had written, not for me, but just in general. And I was like, wow, maybe I could write a song. I know a few chords on the guitar. Maybe I can write a song. And so I think it was that night that I went home and wrote my first song. But writing songs was something that I did to kind of journal almost, to work out my faith, to think through things. But it wasn't something that I shared. I was something that I was pretty shy about. I also like didn't ever, I was never the kid that you're like, oh, she loves being on stage, or she's destined for the stage. It wasn't something that I like chased after. I did some things like a musical and things like that, but I never wanted to be the star. I never wanted to be on the stage. But it's neat to see how God has like slowly given me more confidence in that. And when I was in college, I was writing a ton of songs all the time, and I would share them with really safe people. So like my parents, people that would love me no matter what, my good friends. And one of my friends actually kind of pushed me out of the nest a little bit. And I didn't know that she had done this, but she signed me up for an open mic at a local coffee shop. And I had never performed before. I had been like on the worship team a couple times, things like that. But I had never performed my own songs alone for anybody, except for, you know, in the privacy of just a couple friends. And so she pushed me out of the nest and gave that to me as my birthday present that year and said, I signed you up for an open mic. And I did it. And I think I've had a lot of moments like that where I really needed a little bit of a push to say, you know, this is not just something that you do in the privacy of your own dorm room or with really safe people or even just as a really expensive hobby. It's something that God has slowly shown me that this is something that I can share and serve people with. So that's what it looked like in college. And eventually, by the end of college, I was more comfortable. And I also was in this major that had a thesis where we had to write a thesis at the end, or we could choose the option of doing a creative thesis. And of course, I was like, well, what if I record music instead of writing like a 60-page paper? Yes, you know, I'll do that. And so that was another little push of where I knew I had to do it for a grade. I had to record an album. And so that was my first album that I had ever recorded. But I would say even in my 20s, it was still something that I didn't feel super confident in and kind of kept as a hobby more than something that I did like for a vocation.
Wow. So what was the response from your professor, or I don't know if your colleagues in school, if they were able to hear your album for your thesis? What was the response like when you said, okay, I'm going to record an album as my thesis?
Yeah, I don't honestly remember. I mean, I think that I made a good grade. I was not at a Christian school or anything, and a lot of my songs were faith-based. But no one really said anything about that. I think the significance of it for me was that it forced my hand a little bit to go ahead and make that first album and see what it felt like, and gave me a taste for that. And I kept wanting to do it because I kept writing more songs. But I'll say that in my 20s, I recorded two albums in my 20s, one in college and one later on. And it was like really expensive scrapbooking is how I describe it, because it was just a hobby for me and something I did on the side. I wanted to preserve these songs and like keep them like you would a memory. And so, but it was quite expensive to keep as a hobby. So eventually it wasn't sustainable.
So when you were, when you graduated, and since it was just a hobby, what were your intentions or plans for your career at that time?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I had no intentions for music being a career at that time. I'm a very slow, my story is one of like one foot in front of the other and God being really kind and slowly developing this heart for this thing. I mean, I'm a pretty like goal-oriented person, driven person, but I just had no category for music being something that I could do, or even really like writing or anything creative. So I went out and graduated and got like a creative real job. You know, I'm putting quotes around that. Real job. And I worked in advertising for a while. And then Nick and I got another real job, which I had a category for, which was missions. We went overseas for a while and lived overseas. And then I got another real job when he was in seminary. And I worked in the admissions office of the seminary. But that whole time, this is all before kids, before I turned 30, I was just writing songs all the time. And eventually, I came up with this goal to write a song for every book of the Bible before I turned 30. But again, it was just in hobby mode. You know, it was just in like, this is something, maybe it was becoming more than a hobby, but it was still something that like I wasn't willing to say I'm a songwriter or willing to risk failing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just kept on writing songs. I would play shows sometimes, but it was all just for fun. And once I started to write songs that told God's story from scripture, it was like the perfect marriage of things that I loved, God's word, and also writing songs. And it became very compelling for me. And at that same juncture, my husband Nick and I had one daughter at the time, and I was staying home with her. And he kind of said, in a loving way, like, this is a really expensive hobby. You know, like, if this is something that you really want to do, then do it all the way. And don't kind of forcing me not to hide and do it in a sustainable way. Let's figure out a way that you can really do this or don't do it, you know? And he kind of pushed me off that. I was just on the fence. And that conversation was really important to me, but it happened at the very same time as when I finally sort of had a mission statement, if you will. Like, I know why I love writing songs and what I love writing songs about most of all. And so those two things together, it was a really powerful combination for me of like a push to go and also a direction to go mm-hmm. at the same time.
So then, you know, when he said this to you and you were like, okay, well, now I have this direction to go. Did you, like, how did you know where, like, you've written, you had a couple of albums, but how did you know what was the next step to do in order to actually make money and kind of make this mm-hmm. something?
Yeah, that's a good question. Really, for me, it was taking it a little bit more seriously and figuring out ways to make money at it. Not so that I could make a lot of money. You don't really get into music in order to make a lot of money, but it just in order that I could continue to do it. Music is one of those creative things that actually, much like visual art, I think there's a lot of cost on the front end. Like if you write a song, then you record that song, you're paying, if you're an independent artist, you're paying to get that song recorded. And only after it comes out, then maybe you might make money off of streaming, but not much. And so you really can only keep making more music by going out and playing shows, which I actually love to do. But there was sort of this, I guess what happened there was that I did try to figure out ways that I could continue to make music. Like at the time, Kickstarter had just come out. And so I was able to raise funds to make an album with a producer for the first time. Mm-hmm. Through Kickstarter. And so it's just upping the ante. And it wasn't because I wanted to make myself a bigger deal. It was because I finally found the music and the work that I wanted to give the best packaging for, I guess, or the best, do my best work. I wanted to stop kind of cutting corners and just doing the least amount possible. I started wanting to be like, no, this is so compelling that I want to do it as best as I can. And so I'm going to hire a producer and we're going to pay people. And I'm not just going to get my random friend who can play the djembe to come in and play drums. Like, I'm going to hire a drummer. Things like that, when you up the ante like that and you say, no, I'm really doing this. It's really cool what doors tend to open up.
Yeah, well, and I'm also curious to know, kind of back to when you decided you wanted to write, you know, a song for every book in the Bible. Why did you decide that you wanted to take on that challenge? And then, you know, when you think of like Leviticus or, you know, some of the really hard ones, like how did you know what to write?
I know. I think that's one really fun thing about a goal like that. Is that it does force you to write a song from Leviticus, but there's also no risk. Like, I knew it was going to be bad, you know, I knew, or at least it wasn't going to be commercially viable. Like, it's not going to be one of those songs. And yet that exercise of putting your critic aside and just saying, I made this goal. I announced it. I told people I was going to do it. So I have to do this. It forced your hand to write a song from Leviticus or Nahum. And it was actually really cool for me to see how the whole Bible fits together. It was cool for me and challenging for me to write songs from books that I really was pretty intimidated by. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so some of those songs people will probably never hear. And that's one of the joys of doing creative work when you don't have to show everything you make. You know, you can just make as much as you can and see what sticks and then put that out. I was turning 30 on November 11th, 2011. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a big birthday. And it's a cool date. And for whatever reason, I think I had heard of another friend who was a songwriter say that she had a goal to write 100 songs in a year, because a lot of people that are doing songwriting like professionally, they're writing hundreds a year and they're just harvesting 10, you know? And so there's sort of a model for that, but it was also a cool idea to sort of motivate me to write week after week after week. And really I made the goal more on a whim than I probably care to admit. I just was like, how can I make this meaningful, this turning of a chapter from my 20s to my 30s, meaningful, kind of accomplish something before I turn 30, as if you're going to die when you turn 30 or something. But I think it was a little bit on a whim, but it really did propel me into this new trajectory of writing songs from scripture and telling these stories, and gave me an idea of, wow, I really like this. Like, this is the sweet spot for me.
Yeah, I love that. You go on, that was in 2011, and then you mentioned that you had your first child and you were staying home, and then your husband's like, hey, so this is an expensive hobby, and so you decide to pursue that, and then, you know, eventually you create multiple albums, one in particular, A Home and a Hunger, in 2017, which was named among the Gospel Coalition's best Christian albums of the 2010s. Congratulations. That's a huge accomplishment for that.
Thanks.
And so in the midst of all this, because I know you have additional children, how, because your husband said the whole, hey, let's do something with this, how did your music and time spent working on music change? Or did it increase, decrease? What did that look like?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It's funny because I think most people, their story with music is like they hustle really hard in their 20s and they hit the road when they're single or when they're young marrieds and just play a ton of shows. And then by the time they have kids and are starting to want to be home more, then they can kind of ride the wave of everything that they made in their 20s and sort of ride that audience that they've already built up. And that's not my story at all. I feel like I did it sort of not by the book, but yet this is how God has led me one foot in front of the other. I think for me, having kids, it gave me some limits around some limits that forced me to like really focus hard in those limits. So for example, like when my daughter was younger, I had the day Mother's Day out, and that one day a week, you know, it is a day where I could have gone to the grocery alone in peace. I could have, you know, gone and cleaned out my house, but I didn't. Instead, I wanted to go and write songs. And so all day, that's what I was doing, is just writing songs and focusing on that. So I think having kids, there were some limits that actually made me work harder within the time period that I did have. And when we had two kids, we lived in California, and I had no daycare. And I only had 2 hours a week where a friend would take my kids. And I would always use that time for writing songs. Never would clean my bathtub in my free time, you know? Because you can clean your bathtub while your kids are yelling and all around you. You can go to the bathroom with your, or sorry, not the bathroom. You could go to the grocery with your kids, but you can't write a song. So I just kept on writing. And then how it is with songwriting is that if you get some of that deep work time, as you're driving around with your kids in your car or on a walk or on a run or whatever you're doing, cooking dinner, you can keep writing that song once you have that skeleton. So I think having kids, those limits pushed me to write in a different way. And now that I have more time, It's so interesting, like some of my more managerial tasks have taken over some of that songwriting time, and I miss that deep work, that where I was forced to, like, this is the only thing I'm going to do with my free time. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's a good perspective too, with it as like, you know, I'll hear women say to, like, with me for the podcast, I'm kind of in the same boat of, like, I just have a day where that's, like, that's the day that I work on it. And so I'll hear women say, like, oh, well, how do you have time for this? Or probably for you, how do you have time to write all the music? And you're like, well, the time that I get alone, I'm going to make the most out of it. And then you get, right. You actually do get a lot done.
Yes.
With yeah. that. Well, so... You said that with just being a mother and having that specific time to work on things. How has being a musician changed, or even writing music changed, since becoming a mother or having multiple kids, or just where you are mm-hmm. in the stage in life right now?
Yeah, every stage is so different. I think when they were younger, the challenge was finding time to write, finding time to work on it during the day, and then traveling. I would always have to get, you know, childcare, like someone to come in, a grandmom, or, you know, make sure my husband could take off work or something like that. And now that they're a little bit older, they're all in school, I do have a lot more time during the school day to spend on this. And even they can come home from school and by themselves. And I, you know, the other day I was doing a songwriting thing across town, and they walked home by themselves, fed themselves a snack, and just hung out until I got home. And so there's definitely a lot more freedom that I have now, so I'm able to do more. But there's new challenges, right? As they get older, every time I go out of town, I'm missing something, you know? So instead of, like, I'm missing just making sure their diapers are changed, now I'm missing their soccer game or their performance or whatever it is. So there's never a perfect season, I think, for doing this thing. And we have to trust God with the limits that we do have, even though they can be frustrating sometimes, because I have a bazillion ideas and just not enough time to do them all, mm-hmm. you know, or a bazillion songs I'd love to write, and I just don't have the time to do them all. And so just trusting Psalm 16 says, you know, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, and that God in his calling me into this music thing, and his calling me into being a mom and everything else I'm doing, church stuff, whatever, somehow it does all fit together. And I also don't have to get it all done right now, because I think some of the work that I'm doing, this work of writing songs, I think I'm going to keep getting to do it in heaven. I mean, I've been thinking about that. I'm like, I don't think this is going to stop. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have to hustle like some people do, as if this is our legacy, this is all we've got. We can trust in the long term that he's going to give us time to do what he's called us to do.
Oh, I really like that answer. That was a really, really good answer. Now, you know, in your writing, you know, you do a lot of songs written about the Bible, a Christian perspective. Do you also write some secular songs, or do you like to just keep it more biblically based?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm most compelled by this idea of telling God's story and writing songs really from the Bible. They're not even really about, they're all very personal, but they're not even really about, like, my experience of God, you know, calling me beautiful or something, where I take a bunch of different passages and squish them together, like a lot of stuff you hear on Christian radio is. Not that that's bad. Mm-hmm. But mine is just different than that. And so I think we all kind of find our lanes. And I think there's a lot of people putting out, you know, secular music that are people of faith, that they're able to weave in their faith somehow, or they're pointing people to beauty, or they're talking about things that are good and beautiful and true in their secular songs. I just think for me, this is my lane, you know, and I really enjoy writing this type of song. That said, I you know that I'm working on this EP, and it doesn't fit into this category of songs from scripture. They are Christian songs, but they're more about, like, my friends struggle with anxiety, and I have too. And so how do I write a song that gives that friend a prayer to pray? Or how do I think about anxiety? You know, and I can write a song about that, or a song about friendship, or a song about death and seeing death up close. So there's some personal songs that I do write. And every now and again, I have enough of those that I want to put out into the world. And that's what's happening right now. But more often than not, I just feel really compelled by this storytelling aspect of putting out songs that drop into different moments of scripture and really unfold those for people.
Yeah, you have a unique writing and a special gift that, like I told you earlier, is just, I mean, it speaks so much to the audience, to the listener. It's really great. Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned too, and I want you to talk a little bit more about the EP that you have coming out. Like you just, as you mentioned, you shared the music will be close to home songs about friendship, mm-hmm. and seeing death up close, your testimony, anxiety, and a lot more. And you also kind of answered this question in a little bit, but if you have more to say, why these topics specifically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now I feel like I'm actually doing two different projects, and I don't know if you know about the second one, but they're not just right in the category of putting out music that tells God's story. So one is this EP, and it's really written for my friends and my neighbors, how kind of God's big story, and for myself, how God's big story really presses in, I think, on our stories, and how that helps me process things like my friend struggling with anxiety, or seeing my dad die. How do I think about death since I am a Christian and since I'm soaking all the time in this big story of the gospel? How does that make me think about these real life things that are happening in my story and in the stories all around me? And then on the opposite end, I'm actually working on a book, and I just finished. It's going to go to print like next week.
Oh, wow.
And it's being published, and it's an Advent devotional book. And so it's taking some of the songs that I've already written from that theme, and it's from a lot from Isaiah and different things, and diving deeper. And it's a devotional, so it's 25 days worth of like reflecting on this theme of Advent from Isaiah, and it's things that I've already written about in my songs, but this book is like a whole different way of getting at it and expanding it, and also having to be more direct. And so it's just been neat to see how God has given me new lanes to run in, but it's all still, I think my first love is still writing these songs that tell God's story, and how sometimes that spins out into other projects that are related, but they're not exactly the same. But hopefully overall, all these projects are helping people, you know, be drawn closer to God and kind of rehearsing his story and his love for them.
Yeah. Well, and it's cool too, because like you shared earlier in part of your story that you always were interested in writing, and then it transferred over to writing music, and then now it's also getting back to the original love of writing. And the Advent book that you have coming out, will that be, are you going to release it more in the fall to be prepared for Advent season, or are you going to have that released out sooner?
Yeah, it'll come out in September of 2024. So like early fall, and in time, I guess that's when some of the Advent material starts to come out. So yeah, I'm excited. And it's one of those things too, where I never thought I was going to do this, mm-hmm. but I had promised some Kickstarters that I would write a devotional book for that album. And as I wrote it, I realized this is a lot of work. Maybe I should see if I can't get it published. And it was like one thing led to another, and here I am. And so I don't know, God has been really kind to me in that sometimes we know that we love something, and we know we love to create, let's say, mm-hmm. but we don't know what that's going to look like, you know? Yeah. And he sometimes opens up doors that we think it's going to look this way, and it actually looks this way. And I feel like my story is just him doing that again and again. And even when I'm scared or don't feel like I'm adequate for something, he pushes me out, and I end up doing these things, and can't believe that I get to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, I love too how you said, like, even back in college where your friend kind of pushed you to go to that open mic night, and had she not have done that, I mean, I think God still would have used you, obviously, because he had that plan for you. But just had like that friend not encourage you and push you towards that direction, you know, who knows where exactly you would be. And just the fact that God has given you these talents and this passion and this heart. And Caroline, I know we got to go pretty soon, but I have one more question for you. So I asked you to be on the podcast for a couple of reasons. I knew that, well, I thought actually that you had started writing way younger than what YouTube told me, or I really need to go back and look at that and see, like, did I just not see that correctly?
That's awesome.
And then when I met you, I just remember you saying that you were the full-time caretaker, stay-at-home mom with your kids, and then you're like, and I do music on the side. But really, you know, music is so much of your life, and being a mother obviously is your priority and your job. And so just even listening now to even you saying, like, I'm just going to keep doing this, and I'm going to keep writing. I'm going to, like, as long as God has me doing these things, that I'm going to keep doing this. And so you haven't let your age or your season in life take you away from what you wanted to do. Like, you've mm-hmm. adjusted, maybe had to pause a couple of times, just make it work for the limited amount of time that you were able to. And so, you know, mm-hmm. many women feel like they can't do these things, or they have the fear to avoid pursuing the things that they enjoy, like a hobby or career, whatever it may be. And so if you could encourage one woman who does feel blocked or limited to pursue a dream or goal based on her age or life circumstance, what would you tell her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I hope that as she's listened, she's seen that, you know, God can really use all kinds of people with all kinds of limits. My story is definitely one of where if you were writing the book on, like, how to be a songwriter, like, this, I broke all the rules, you know, and I didn't have this goal. I didn't have this thing. But I think that one thing that I feel like younger songwriters or creatives, or really people my age say to me a lot is, you know, they want to do quote unquote it, but it's not an ideal time, or they have kind of an all or nothing way of thinking about doing creativity or creative work or any kind of dream or goal that they have. They have this, and I do this too. Still, I feel like I have to do it all the way, what I have as the standard in my head, or not at all. Mm-hmm. And it's this all or nothing thinking. And I think my pushback on that all the time and with myself is that that is an amazing dream or goal. And it is really big and really hairy. What is a way that you can do that in a small way, instead of saying, I'm either going to make, you know, that double album, or I'm going to make a full length studio album, but I can't because I don't have money and I don't have time and I'm not the right age. Instead of saying that, why don't you just go and record one song and see if that opens up into more songs? And if the experience is good, and if you want to work with that studio, or if you want to do it that way, or maybe you have some other kind of dream where you feel like, unless I can do it all the way, then I'm not going to do it at all. It's like, how can you just do that small step right in front of you to do? Another one I hear a lot, and I put on myself sometimes too, is like, yeah, I want to do music, but you know, I can't do it like that person does it. Or I'm not playing this big of shows, and I'm not making enough money, or I'm not getting enough streams on Spotify, so I can't, you know, I'm not really doing it. And so until I get to that point, then I'll be doing it. But I think there's like a false narrative there, because everyone could say that. Like, I can say that for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there are so many more artists that get so many more streams than I do. But yet I still feel like God would never want me to say that I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing it in a different way and running my own race, and doing the small things in front of me to do, and trying to be faithful and just trust that in his economy, if I write a song and 100 people hear it, or maybe just my church hears it, or maybe just that one friend hears it, or maybe just God hears it, in all of those situations, or if 1 million people hear it, God can be glorified and it matters. And so why are we waiting? You know, just go ahead and do that small thing, and just trust God with the results, I feel like, is an important way to think about it.
Yeah, I love that. And like you said, too, just whether it's one person, God, 100 people, 1 million people, like, either way, God is still using you. He's still using your music, and he can use somebody else in a big capacity, small capacity, medium capacity. And so either we could sit there and say, I wish, or we could push forward and actually do it. Well, Caroline, thank you so much. Where can people find your music, and eventually in September, your Advent book, and find you on the socials? Plug away.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I have everything is on, CarolineCobb.com, but you can find the music on Spotify and Apple Music and everywhere, Pandora, YouTube. And then in terms of social media, I'm on Instagram, Caroline Cobb Music. And then hopefully over the summer sometime, I actually don't know when, we'll be able to pre-order the book and we'll see what happens. I'm just trying to be faithful and see where it goes from here. So.
I'm excited for it. I'll order it for sure. Well, Caroline, thank
Thanks.
you so much to the listeners. We had a rough go around with technology. There was a lot of pausing and waiting. And so hopefully this all turns out wonderful. But Caroline, I really appreciate you joining me on the More Than Your Age podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Erica. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. If you were encouraged by today's episode, like and subscribe to this podcast and share this episode with a friend. You can find me on Instagram at More Than Your Age and visit the More Than Your Age Facebook page. Keep striving for your goals, live fully, and we'll catch you next time on the More Than Your Age podcast.